This show furnished by Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
Cutting through the massive disinformation and propaganda to give you the truth about medical and political controversies. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with the executive producer of the award-winning film, American Addict, Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And it is Saturday night, and once again, that means that I am back. This is Dr. Gregory A. Smith, and this is Truth, Medicine, and Politics. And every Saturday night, we're trying hard to give you something that you don't normally hear. And this is one show that you definitely have to hear. We're on for 2 hours tonight with David Icke, and I'm going to bring him on in a minute. But I want to tell you a little story about when I first heard of David Icke myself. This is about 9 or 10 years ago. I was at a dinner party, and there was two people talking, and I was standing there with them, but they were sort of talking, and I don't know if I was daydreaming or whatever, but I heard David Icke come up, and one of them started saying how brilliant this man was, and he was exposing all the lies, and the other person was the complete opposite. No, this guy's crazy. He thinks he's the son of God, and they were just arguing back and forth. And so for one of the few times in my life, I didn't have a lot to say because I didn't really know much about David at that time. So I took it upon myself to really start to research. And over the years, I've listened to David Icke a lot, and I can tell you he makes a lot of sense on a lot of issues. And he's been called really a one-man alarm clock. He's prolific writer, public speaker, on many topics. And the one thing is he's doing a world tour, and he's going to be in L.A. and in San Francisco, and we're going to give you the exact dates, but I think he's going to be in New York on September 10th, Los Angeles September 17th, and San Francisco September 24th. And I encourage everyone to go see him if you've never heard him speak in person. And David, I know you're on the line from London tonight, and I appreciate you being here.
Oh, it's a real pleasure.
Well, there's so much to talk about and so little time, but I want to just get right into it here. Let's talk about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. A circus beyond a circus. I don't know what everyone thinks in Britain and other countries of what's going on here, but I don't even want to ask you a question. I just want to get your opinion of these two candidates.
Well, it is a circus, and what we're seeing here is two polarities, at least in the public mind. But in fact, they'll be controlled in the background by the same people. When we have presidential elections, there is usually the chosen candidate by the hidden hand, and then there's one that's acceptable to the hidden hand. And in this case, it would very strongly seem that the hidden hand wants Hillary Clinton. But Donald Trump would suit them too, because whatever people say in election campaigns, what they stand for, what they will do in office, that just goes straight out the window once they get in office. I mean, you know, in some ways, Barack Obama has done a service to understanding this whole farce, this whole process of public delusion, in the sense that certainly in his first election campaign, no one could have claimed to be different or more different. No one could claim to have been about change more than Barack Obama, and yet when you study it, when you push away the rhetoric, you push away the window dressing, what you're left with clearly, not least in the Middle East, is a continuation of the policies of Bush. And there's a reason for this. Many people now, more than ever before, are starting to see that as the saying goes, it doesn't matter who you vote for, the government still gets in. The hidden hand government still gets in. And it's structured that way because if you look at any country, almost any country, you've got two political parties, sometimes three, but usually two, that have any chance of forming a government. And so you vote for party A, and they get into government. And you don't like what they do in government. So the only way to get party A out is to vote for party B. And so you vote for party B, and they get into government. And you don't like what they do. And the only way to get them out is to go back and vote for party A. And it's this to and fro between two, maybe three, usually two parties that is called democracy, that's called freedom, that's called political choice. And I was in, I was speaking in Ukraine in 2011. And when I was there, the president that they threw out in the so-called People's Revolution, the Orange Revolution in 2004, he was the president again. This is an extreme example, but almost hilarious example of what I'm saying. They threw this guy out, apparently for the, alleged corruption, in 2004, and another guy came in. They didn't like what this new guy did in office, and to get him out, the only way they could do it was to vote for the other party. And the guy they threw out in 2004 was still the head of that party. So they voted this guy back in that they'd thrown out in a so-called People's Revolution. Because we have this situation where it's an illusion of choice. Now, when you then look at the fact that you've got these two parties, well, that's bad enough, even if the parties were different. A choice out of 300 million people plus in America between two parties for any time, any election for forming the government and selecting the president. But it goes further than that because of the way it's structured. For instance, during the Bush administration, the Boy Bush administration, you had that controlled by a group which was known as the neocons or neoconservatives. These were people out of this organization, the Project for the New American Century, which was behind this push to do all the mayhem and catastrophe they've done in the Middle East, including the invasion of Iraq. And in this Project for the New American Century, in this these neocons were people like Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and Paul Wolfowitz and Doug Zakheim, who was the comptroller of the Pentagon at the time of 9/11, and these other people in the background that basically were the controlling force of the Republican Party. In the Democratic Party, you have what I call the Democons, which is a similar group, people like Zbigniew Brzezinski, George Soros, people like that. And so they dictate the agenda of the Democratic Party. And here's the point. If you go one step back further into the shadows, you have a network, a force, a hidden hand, which controls the neocons and the Democons. So no matter who's in power as president, that force in the background is in power. And the agenda that's being followed is that hidden hand's agenda. Therefore, you go from Bush, Republican, and all that that stands for in terms of image. And then you go to Barack Obama, who had a completely different image. And, of course, it's the Democratic Party. That's different to the Republican Party, it says here. But the same agenda has been followed because it's the agenda of this hidden hand that's always in power, no matter who's in power. And what has been happening is to keep public interest, as more and more people realize that it's a farce, it's a circus, it's a sleight of hand, they are seeking to create a show, if you like, and to create a point of interest. So Barack Obama came in as the first black president. So it's the first black president. It's something new. You know, keep the interest. This is something new. But he wasn't the first black president in the sense of how people perceived it. He was the first black puppet for this Hidden Hand, which had always used white puppets up to that point. Now we're having Hillary Clinton sold as the first woman. Oh, this is change. We're going through the glass ceiling. This is, oh, the first woman. Oh, well, of course, among Hillary Clinton's most close buddies and associates are the Saudi royal family. I mean, yeah, they want change for women. They do. But she's not the first woman in the sense that people perceive it. She's the first woman puppet of a hidden hand that up to this point has always used men as its puppets in the White House. And so we have this situation now where we have Hillary Clinton, who I've been tracking since the mid-1990s in terms of her corruption, in terms of her because it's the both of them, in terms of their body count. These people that just die when they've got something on the Clintons. The list is extraordinary. And the way they were running drugs with the Bush family through the MENA airstrip in Arkansas, when Bill Clinton was governor there, all this has come out through whistleblowers who were part of it. And that's another point about this. You know, one of the things that I hear as a confirmation of American freedom is that anyone can become president. But then you you look at the reality. In 1980, Reagan came in with Father Bush. That was called the Reagan-Bush administration. But in fact, it was the Bush-Reagan administration in terms of power and who was really the de facto president. You had two terms of Bush-Reagan, and then you went to a term of Father Bush, a single term of Father Bush, two terms of Bill Clinton, two terms of Boy George Bush, then on to Barack Obama, and now a very good chance that Mrs. Clinton is coming in. Now, when you've got more than 300 million people in America, and you look at the domination since 1980 of the presidency by the Clintons and the Bushes, and then you take that a stage further, and you realize that the Bushes and the Clintons are actually extremely close. They're associates. They work together. And then you're looking at a situation where the whole political system, in terms of choice from the public, is a complete charade, a complete farce. And then you've got this maverick they've brought in, apparently a maverick, apparently not part of the establishment, I mean, please, called Donald Trump. And somehow, someone that the Republican Party apparently didn't want, and people apparently didn't want, he's managed to get the candidacy. And interestingly, again, Trump is a longstanding family friend of the Clintons. And then you look at this, and it's like scratching your head. What's going on here? Well, we've got a situation with Hillary Clinton. She may be the choice, but she is a nightmare sell to the American public because of her history and her image and everything that she's been associated with. And someone who was coming from the Republican side, who had some balance, who had some reasonable way of expressing himself and was saying sensible things that were bringing people together, would blow Hillary Clinton away. But instead, we've got this guy, Donald Trump, who from the moment he got the candidacy for the Republican nomination, started shooting himself in the foot with what he was saying and making himself extremely unpopular among those people that actually he needs to get vote for him if he's going to get in. It's all very strange.
Seems like he's self-sabotaged.
And then you've got the Clinton health situation, which is clearly, to say the least, not good, which is all being hidden in the mainstream anyway. And it's to look at it from afar, it's a real head shaker. The whole thing, what's going on, and I hope that people are looking at this, when you've got a situation of an election coming up and the majority of the people in America don't want either candidate, you have reached a kind of catalytic point where do we go from here? Because people must be starting to see, I know they are, that this whole political choice is a complete farce and a complete manipulation.
David, let me ask you. You speak about, and I agree with you. I think you get either party is the same old, same old. I think that at the beginning when Donald Trump first started, it looked like there was a possibility he was different, but more and more it's starting to seem like it's not. But you speak of the hidden hand or who's actually running the show. Who is the hidden hand? Who are those people?
Well, that's a very, very long story. Maybe I could explain how the hidden hand works. If people could picture a spider's web, and in the center is the spider. The spider is where all this is coming from, and it's completely in the hidden. You don't see the spider, and there's reasons for that. You look at the web, and each strand is a secret society, a semi-secret group, or an organization that we see in the public arena. The strands immediately next to the spider, they are the most exclusive secret societies. Some of them don't even have names. And you only get into those if you absolutely know what's going on. As you come out from the spider, from those most exclusive secret societies, you start to enter the realm of secret societies we've all heard of. The Freemasons, the Knights of Malta, Opus Dei, the Inner Circle of the Jesuits, and the Knights Templar, etc. And then you come, as you're coming out from the spider in this web, you reach what I call the cusp. This cusp is where the hidden meets the seen. And at this cusp, you have organizations like the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission. And they are the conduit for taking the agenda for the world that comes from the spider in the hidden. And it goes through them, because these are groupings, of course, of politicians, corporate people, of bankers, of intelligence people, of journalists, etc. And they are that cusp where the hidden meets the seen. And it goes through these organizations and others into the world that we see. It goes into governments, into government departments, into the banking system, into the corporate system, into all the institutions of state around the world. And the governments then introduce through legislation the agenda that started out with the spider. Now, by the time you get into the realms of governments, most of the people have no idea there is a spider. They don't know where it's coming from. They just are caught in the system. It might come through what we call in Britain civil servants, the government administrators, many of which are involved in this whole secret society network. And it goes through to become legislation, which becomes law of the land. And there will be some people within government, certainly those neocons I talked about, and people like Soros and Brzezinski and the democons, as I call them, who will absolutely know much of this and where it's coming from. In terms of the neocons, most of this. And therefore, they are running the Republican Party and the Democratic Party on behalf of the spider, in effect. And so all the time, and as I go around the world, I've just come back from Australia, and it was a classic case there, and New Zealand, you see the same things being introduced. You see society changing in the same way. You see legislation coming in of the same kind. You see excuses to do things that are the same almost wherever you go. And that the reason for this is this web. Because just as the spider has control of the American government administration and the American political system, so it has control of the Australian political system and the British political system and the French and German political system. And so this same agenda coming out from the center of this web is constantly being introduced all over the world by that which represents this web within those particular countries. And in the end, you look at intelligence agencies like the CIA, British Intelligence, Mossad in Israel. And again, they are conduits for the spider. Most of the people working for them, because all these organizations are compartmentalized, like a compartmentalized pyramid. The vast majority of people that work in these organizations have no idea what is actually happening. They only know their contribution to the organization. But at the top, at the capstone of the pyramid, that those people there know how all these different contributions in these different organizations fit together to serve this hidden agenda. And the agenda is, and we can see it so clearly, is the constant and incessant centralization of power in every area of our lives. And the idea is to lead the world into a centralized global control system, which will be based on a world government dictating to every country, a world central bank dictating all world finance, a world single currency, which would be electronic, no cash. That's why I've been talking and writing about this now for over 20 years, the cashless society, and it's coming in so fast. Then you've got the world army. They want a world army to impose the will of the world government in this global centralized control system. And we're seeing these things all unfold before our eyes. What they call the G20 or the G8 or G7, whatever number they choose this year. That's then you look at the United Nations Security Council. They are de facto world government. Then you look at NATO and its constant expansion. That along with the UN peacekeeping force operation and other military operations around the world is moving into a point to become the world government, the world army rather. And so this hidden hand, which has been working towards this centralized global state for so long, it's now reached the point where you can actually see it. You can see it unfolding.
It's becoming, and it's becoming more and more obvious, for sure.
The ways they want to bring in this structure is by triggering a third world war. I've been writing and talking about this for a very long time, and it's to pitch the West against Russia and China. And look how things are unfolding before our eyes now.
And David, we're up against the break. I want to come back to that, though. That's extremely important to talk about the possibility of World War III. You are listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith, and my guest tonight is the one and the only David Icke. We will be right back after these messages.
Are you ready for the truth? Are you ready to have your consciousness expanded? The world's best-known conspiracy researcher and revealer of spiritual truth is coming to Los Angeles and other U.S. cities. David Icke presents his fantastic all-day event, presenting the synthesis of his 26 years of cutting-edge research and revelation in one day. The Worldwide Wake-Up Tour rolls into the Irvine Marriott on September 17th for an all-day event. Tickets are available at theworldwidewakeup.com. That's www.theworldwidewakeup.com. David's latest presentation has been hailed as his most powerful yet, and he will address what really happened on 9/11, what is driving terrorism, the current refugee crisis, and massive push for a third world war. A world where laws are being passed every day that grant the government and the corporations they represent control over what we eat, what we drink, what we think, and even how we raise our children. For tickets, log on to theworldwidewakeup.com. That's www.theworldwidewakeup.com. Theworldwidewakeup.com.
Are you tired of the old bait and switch when you're buying auto insurance online? May I interest you in a conversation with an actual human being regarding your insurance needs? If so, call HVH Insurance Services at 888-498-4495. HVH Insurance specializes in auto, home, and business insurance. For honesty, integrity, and a personal relationship with your broker, pick up the phone today and call HVH at 888-498-4495 or log on to hvhins.com. That's hvhins.com.
Why do 8 out of 10 drivers prefer Lyft over the competition? Could be that you earn up to $1,500 a week driving your own car during hours you choose. Give enough rides each week and you can keep up to 95% commission. That's right, 95%. Better yet, we'll start you off with a $500 bonus. That's right, $500 for each new Lyft driver in Los Angeles. And you'll only earn more from there. Whether you're putting money toward a mortgage, saving for vacation, or just looking for a better way to earn, choose Lyft. Apply at lalyft.com. That's lalyft.com today. While you jot that down, here's another fun fact. Lyft is the only app that allows tipping, and 60% of our rides tip the driver. Because at Lyft, drivers come first. Be your own boss, pick your own schedule, and get paid weekly. Experience the difference of Lyft and pocket that $500 bonus by applying at lalyft.com today. Terms apply.
Hey, everyone.
This is Life Tips with Geico.
Life Tip 1. Use a shower squeegee to remove pet fur from carpet.
Squeegee is also very fun to say. Consider it when naming a pet or child.
Life Tip 2. Switch to Geico and you could save hundreds on your car insurance.
With over 75 years of experience and a 97% customer satisfaction rating, they know what they're doing.
Geico. Get savings into your life. Visit geico.com today.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, only $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 9393 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 9393.
For those about to work this Labor Day weekend, with a cold beverage from the comfort of our home.
Happy Labor Day!
Great weekend!
790 KABC.
Want the truth? You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And we are back. My guest tonight is the one and only David Icke. We've been talking about several things, really the election, the centralization of power, and does it even really matter if it's Hillary or Trump? Is it just one and the same? If you're just tuning in, you can always hear this on drgregorysmith.com, drgregorysmith.com, or kabc.com. And David, I want to bring you back on here, and you were starting to go into the centralization of power, the hidden agenda, but bringing us into a third world war. I've heard a lot of people talking about this lately. Is this a reality that we're really entering to that point, or is it just going to be more of these terrorist-type skirmishes?
Now, we are heading towards that point. I've been talking about this for such a long time because it was always planned that there was going to be three world wars. And the reason is this. Nothing changes a society, transforms a society more quickly and more totally than a war. And if you want to transform global society into a centralized global dictatorship, then you need global wars to do that. If you look at, and I've written extensively about the First and Second World Wars, they were totally and utterly manipulated. And if you look at the First World War, power was in far fewer hands after the First World War than it was before. And the whole map of many parts of the world was redrawn by the winners. And then you had the Second World War, and you had, again, power was in far fewer hands again, even more so after the Second World War, and they brought in these global institutions like the UN and what became the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, etc. And then we've had this blatant explosion of global centralization through what has been given a name a long time ago, globalization, the centralization of of every area of human society. And the idea is that the third world war, where they want to pitch the West against Russia and China, that would create a situation where they would say, this can't happen again. We must stop this. The only way to stop this is to have centralized control of the world with an army, a world army, that can step in and stop these things happening. And we must dismantle national armies and have a world army, and so there's no one to fight, basically. Well, there is the people and anyone that wishes to challenge the impositions of the world government. That's what the world army is about. When you look at the way events are unfolding, I mean, Syria is now a powder keg in terms of the people that are in that very comparatively small area of land dropping bombs on people. You've got the United States, you've got France, you've got the United Kingdom, you've got Turkey, you've just gone into Syria, you've got the Assad regime that's doing it, and you've got the Russia that's doing it. And so it's a disaster waiting to happen in terms of some conflict breaking out there between the Russians that are obviously supporting Assad, and so are the Iranians, and by the way, so are the Chinese. The Chinese have been supporting Assad in the background, but in the last couple of weeks, they've come out openly and said, "We're supporting Assad." So you've got that situation. You've got Ukraine, when that so-called People's Revolution, another one, put this man Poroshenko into power, who, as WikiLeaks communications have revealed, was an agent, an asset of the United States government long before that coup, and anyone had heard outside of Ukraine of Poroshenko. You've got the massive build-up, NATO build-up, along the Russian border, to the point where even now Vladimir Putin said not long ago to journalists, "Can't you see what's happening? We're being manipulated into a third world war." And when I was in Australia, there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing and arguing and conflict down there involving the South China Sea with China and the United States and Philippines and what have you, and also between China and Japan that's building up, so that you can see the pieces moving into place. But, you know, this is the plan. It's always been the plan, because this plan for the world is not projected a few years hence. This has been in train for a very, very long time, and there are reasons why that is possible. Third World War, but the point is to get this information out to as many people as possible, to point out that this has been long planned and why, because that will dilute the official narrative, which will be that these random events and what Russia's doing or what China's doing is causing us to go into this war. I mean, we know from weapons of mass destruction in Iraq how we're lied to justify wars and invasions. So we need to get this information out to as many as possible to expose the fact that this is not a series of random events that's leading us down this road, but a long-term plan.
David, it's a long-term agenda, and that's one of the things I've never understood, is that this reaches over decades, over more than one lifetime. So this has got to be a commitment on a deeper level than once thought, because no one's living through all three world wars, so to speak. I mean, how are these agendas so far-reaching over several lifetimes? Why do even people that are in it care if they're not even going to be around necessarily for the ultimate new world order or whatever?
Well, that's a great point, and that's why my talks in America will have me speaking for 10 hours. with about 1,600 illustrations. There are some breaks, by the way. And it's why, you know, my books go into many, many different areas, including and fundamentally the nature of reality itself, because we are kept so much in the dark of the very reality that we're experiencing that we can only see the world of the scene, so-called the physical world, and we can only see a timeline of history within that world. The point is that when you look at the nature of reality, the world looks very different, and you start to see where the answers are to the question you've just posed. If we only look at the world of the scene, then there is no answer to the question that you've rightly asked. What is the coordinating force that's passed this through the ages that can project an agenda massively forward? And let's just show for a minute how much I mean by that. The reason that Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, written in the 1930s, and George Orwell's 1984, published in 1948, have proved to be so accurate is because they were not writing completely from imagination. They were writing from a knowledge of this projected agenda. That's why they've been so accurate. I quote a man in my new book, Phantom Self, and I do in various parts of my presentations, called Dr. Richard Day. Dr. Richard Day was a Rockefeller family insider and an executive of Planned Parenthood, which is a Rockefeller organization, and which started out life in the eugenics movement, by the way, and which the Rockefellers were big time into. The Rockefellers sent their leading eugenicist to Germany to work with the Nazis before the Second World War. I mean, how many people realize that? Anyway, this Dr. Richard Day was a big-time insider and therefore had access to this projected agenda, which so did Orwell and so did Huxley. And in 1969, Richard Day stood up to make a speech at a meeting of pediatricians in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And why he did what followed, no one knows, but he did it. He asked the doctors not to take notes and not to use recording equipment, because he was going to tell them how the world was going to change, because he was connected to that which was going to change it. He then proceeded to describe the way the world was going to change in considerable detail. And fortunately, one of the doctors in the audience, a guy called Dr. Dunnigan, he did take notes, and he did then later write down what Day had said. And before Dunnigan died, he did a series of interviews, Dunnigan knew Day, a series of interviews describing what Day had said that day. Well, it is stunning. This man was describing the Internet and the World Wide Web in 1969. He's supposed to have been, 2008, the World Wide Web was supposed to be invented. He described smart TVs that could film you in your front room and record your conversations. But again, go back 20 years earlier to 1948, and there you have Orwell in 1984 describing telescreens, which were doing the same job. And of course, the smart TVs we have at the moment are only Mark 1 and Mark 2. They're designed to be much more intrusive as the different updates come into being. And so they were tapping into this agenda. And, you know, so much in my books over the years, going back to the 90s, has proved to be accurate in terms of what I said the plan was, and it's unfolded in front of our eyes. It's one of the reasons so many people are looking at my work now, is because so much was in the earlier books is actually happening. And the reason for that is not that I'm some genius sitting cross-legged on a mountain pulling it all out the ether. It's because the same thing in terms of Richard Day, same things in terms of Orwell and Huxley, if you can uncover by being either an insider or a researcher, if you can uncover the projected agenda for the world, unless something intervenes to stop that unfolding, you can predict the future quite comfortably and often in detail. The whole point of what I do is to alert people to this, to stop it unfolding, to intervene, to create an intervention so it doesn't unfold, not least on this Third World War. So then comes the question, coming back to what you were saying, Greg, is what? How can this be? Who's orchestrating this projection when even over the period I've just described from Huxley's Brave New World in the 30s, lots of people have come in and out born and died that have played a part in pushing this agenda on that would never see the end of it. Well, that's where we come to having to look and reevaluate the nature of reality. When people look through their eyes, or think they are actually, they think that they're seeing everything there is to see in the space that they're looking at. They are seeing the most incredibly tiny fraction of it. According to mainstream science, the electromagnetic spectrum is about 0.005% of what exists in energy, mass, matter in this universe. 0.005%. Visible light, which is the only frequency band that we can see as humans, is a fraction of the 0.005%. So we don't live in a world so much as we live in a frequency band, a frequency range that we can decode into a visual reality. And it's extraordinary when you get into the nature of the illusion, the scale of the illusion, that people listening to this, wherever they are, they're looking, into the world. What they're looking at in the form that they're seeing only exists in a tiny part of the brain, which is decoding information, electrical information, into the world that they think they see. I've got a computer in front of me now, and it's on the internet, and I'm seeing graphics, I'm seeing words, I'm seeing pictures, but the only place the internet exists, which of course itself is a worldwide collective reality, the only place that internet exists in the form that I see it is on the screen. Everywhere else, it's information codes and algorithms and all these other technical ways of communicating information electrically. And so what I call the body is a biological computer. I've been calling it that for a long, long time, and I saw recently a mainstream scientist was describing the body as a biological computer. The body is basically doing what the computer is doing. It's turning information, waveform information, is churned into the electrical information by the five senses and communicated to the brain, which then decodes it into the world that we think we see on our screen, if you like, our computer screen, in the brain and the genetic structure of the body. Where I'm going with this is, therefore, the almost entirety of existence, and certainly almost the entirety of this universe, we can't see. We can only see a tiny fraction of it. So there's infinity beyond this frequency band that we're experiencing, but we can't see it. And, of course, within this infinity of forever is our infinite worlds, infinite realities, infinite expressions of life that look anything but human, which is a phenomenon of this particular frequency band, this world, if you like. And so what I'm saying is that the constant common theme through the ages that has pushed this agenda on to where it is now, constantly and constantly centralizing power. And of course, the quicker, the more you centralize power, the quicker you can centralize it even faster, because you have power at the center to centralize power even quicker. And so as people have come in and been conduits within our world to push this agenda on, they have been vehicles, if you like, or some manipulated, some in full knowledge of what they're doing and what the real force behind it is. They've been vehicles to within this reality to push this agenda forward. And at the inner levels of the secret societies and in these exclusive secret societies close to the spider and in these satanic ritual groups that so many of these leading people are involved in fact, those close to the spider, all of them are involved in, are actually worshipping in their rituals and interacting with this force in the hidden, which is actually the spider. The spider is not even in our world. It's outside the frequency band of human perception. And it's manipulating through these groups, these networks, and secret societies and agents, conduits. They're manipulating this reality from the hidden. And that's the common theme and the common source behind it.
What are these people that are in these societies that are closer to the spider, they're able to get into that realm? I mean, is this a skill that, that certain individuals can develop where they can communicate or go beyond what we most people can perceive?
Well, the ones that are really, really deep in the rabbit hole, they do have certain psychic abilities that is not not seen in the general population. And these families, families that are driving this network in the world that we see, are actually of a particular hybrid bloodline. You look at the descriptions in the ancient world, ancient societies all over the world, and there is this common theme of the manipulation of human genetics. And there is a lot of evidence of changes in human genetics that can't be explained by what is called evolution. You know, in the Bible, the sons of God who interbred with the daughters of men. But that's just one expression of this common theme of some form of interbreeding or interconnection between a non-human race, or quote the gods, and as they're perceived by many.
And David, we are up against a quick break here, and I definitely want to give you time. We got another hour to go, so
okay. We're
going to get right back to that. But we are up against the break. You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics. David Icke is on tonight. We will be right back after these messages.
Come immerse yourself in Bhakti. Bhakti Fest, the nation's premier yoga, music, and personal growth festival. Join us September 7th through the 11th in the high desert of Joshua Tree. Bhakti Fest, featuring world-renowned yoga teachers, sacred musicians, and workshop leaders. Come immerse yourself in four non-stop days of yoga, song, dance, bliss, love, and laughter. Bring your family and camp out beneath the stars, or stay at one of our many accommodations. For festival details and to buy tickets now, log on to bhaktifest.com. That's bhaktifest.com, bhaktifest.com. Bhakti Fest, the experience of a lifetime, or perhaps many.
Hey, are you sleeping alone again because you're snoring? You can't wear your CPAP and you have a lot of fatigue? We treat these problems with a mouthpiece that has 5 FDA certifications. Call the Beverly Hills Center for Snoring for a no-charge consultation at 310-550-9119. That's 310-550-9119.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, only $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 9393 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 9393.
Geico applauds your inner ride leader.
An enthusiastic engine rev goes out to the biker in you who leads the pack. Even if that pack is a party of one, you're still a leader to Geico. To prove it, Geico will insure your motorcycle with great rates and 24/7 customer service. And with Geico by your side, you're never cruising solo, which means you've just been nominated as a real ride leader. Congrats. The smell of fine leather and trailblazing is in your future.
Geico Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hey, everyone.
This is Life Tips with Geico.
Life Tip 1. Use a shower squeegee to remove pet fur from carpet.
Squeegee is also very fun to say. Consider it when naming a pet or child.
Life Tip 2. Switch to Geico and you could save hundreds on your car insurance.
With over 75 years of experience and a 97% customer satisfaction rating, they know what they're doing.
Geico. Get savings into your life. Visit Geico.com today.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-735-7485 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-735-7485 to take your call now. Call 877-735-7485. That's 877-735-7485. Again, 877-735-7485.
This show furnished by Dr. Gregory A. Smith.